It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
As a consequence, here's what we want, and here's what we're going to demand at Nehemiah Action. Number one, we want an affordable healthcare training program within Richmond city limits, preferably either in north side or eastern of the city, for these residents that live in the most distressed neighborhoods in our community. Henrico Technical Center's program is a great model for that. Number two, we want the program to provide 50 scholarships per training cycle. We want this so the training is affordable to those who can't sacrifice the money that it would cost to pay for the program, because it might take them away from paying other important bills or basic necessities like rent or food. Number three, we want priority given to residents who live within our most distressed communities in the metro area. And four, we want for this all to start by January 2015 and to have a follow-up meeting in September 2014.
Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities, or RISC, has stood against injustice for 12 years. Speakers at the March 17 RISC rally spoke to 300 members from 17 different congregations about affordable housing and affordable healthcare jobs training in preparation for the Nehemiah Action on April 7 at 7 p.m. at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1128 North 28th Street. And during this week's news, you'll learn why raising the minimum wage is good for business. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 232, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. As the sparring continues over raising the minimum wage, two titans of business have weighed in, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. At an event last month at the American Enterprise Institute, Gates stated that an increase in the minimum wage would dampen the demand for labor. And fellow billionaire Warren Buffett also came out against raising the minimum wage, citing the potential for job loss. Perhaps America's richest men have never been to Australia. Australia enjoys one of the world's highest minimum wages, with the vast majority of Australians over 20 years old receiving no less than about $14.78 per hour in U.S. dollars. Surely this dooms Australians to mass unemployment. That's what Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are trying to tell us. Expensive workers mean fewer jobs. Except, apparently, in Australia. Over the past 10 years, which covers the entirety of the global financial crisis and its aftermath, Australia's unemployment rate has never exceeded 6%. The U.S. unemployment rate hasn't been below 6% since July 2008. This presents a serious inconvenient truth for opponents of minimum wage increases. These sorts of quandaries surface closer to home, too. Saddled with the nation's highest minimum wage, Gates' own state of Washington has nevertheless managed to add jobs at a pace significantly higher than the country as a whole. Bolstered by the experience, state legislatures are now considering an even higher minimum rate, and Seattle is proposing a citywide minimum wage of, you guessed it, $15 an hour. San Francisco was one of the first cities to mandate a pay rate above the federal floor and provide for automatic increases. The result of all these business-unfriendly policies? Higher wages and greater economic security for workers, and a rate of job growth well in excess of surrounding jurisdictions. Across the country, even during periods of high unemployment, an increase in a state's minimum wage has been followed by a decrease in joblessness over 50% of the time in the past 25 years. Maybe these high-wage enclaves of economic success are not aberrations, but examples of sound policy. Maybe the error lies not in too much intervention to boost wages, but in assuming a healthy economy is possible without such corrective action. Maybe we can provide living wages, decent benefits, and a strong safety net and still thrive economically. Maybe Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are wrong. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities, or RISC, has been committed to organizing a strong network of people of faith throughout Greater Richmond to stand against injustice for 12 years. This commitment to do justice has led to some significant wins. In 2011, RISC was successful in changing the suspension practices in Richmond schools, which has resulted in the reduction of truancy rates. And more than 30,000 people in Central Virginia have access to primary health care because of RISC's efforts. This year, RISC is continuing the fight for an affordable housing trust fund, as well as a new cause for an affordable healthcare jobs training program. These issues were presented to the March 17 RISC rally, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show was there. Here is the second part of the RISC rally.
I've lived in Richmond metro area for 3 years. I've been serving in the military for 34 years, and now I'm a Department of Defense employee at DSRC, Department of Supply Richmond. I'm also an active member of the New Light Baptist Church. I have a daughter who is seeking a career in the health career field. She's taken student loans for which she cannot afford to pay. There are health care jobs available, but she's not yet qualified. What she's looking for is a health care job training program that will be affordable and accessible, that will be flexible and provide her with the tools she needs to secure a job so she can provide for her family. Providing for her family is tough. She has rent payments, student loan payments, utilities, food, gas, transportation costs, and child care costs. The cost of all of these amounts is greater than the salary she brings home. Her income right now isn't enough to cover all those costs. She is just one of many young women who are just barely getting by. I also volunteer with a program called Fresh Start for Single Moms, a program I attend myself in 2001. Once I completed the 13-week program, it has such an impact on my life, I became a volunteer, and I still volunteer with this program today. The Fresh Start program works with single moms and women who are, for one reason or another, starting over on their own. It's a 13-week program with group sizing ranging from about 10 to 15 women each session. It's a wonderful program that provides child care while women receive training on everything from self-help seminars, budgeting, resume writing, and interview skills. There are too many women walking out of this program to look for jobs. Even with those additional supports, they still cannot find work because they are not trained for the field where the jobs are most available, the healthcare field. One of the things that keep me up at night worrying is how my daughter and these women from the Fresh Start program can get a job that will allow them to build a career, to earn a living wage, and provide for themselves and their families. Isn't that what God wants for us? He wants us to live and thrive in our communities. These women are not looking for a hand out, but a hand up, with career fields being more accessible to them. A chance to obtain a career that would afford them the opportunities of supporting themselves and their families, being able to get affordable housing, and to contribute back to their communities. There are far too many barriers with employment for single moms and job training, and job training doesn't need to be one of them. I do believe that God has promised us a hope and future, and I believe that my daughter and these women from Fresh Start would benefit tremendously from a healthcare job training program. I hope to see it affordable and accessible and in place as soon as possible. I believe that God calls all of us to stand for justice, for our daughters, for the single moms in the program where I volunteer, and for the entirety of our communities. So let's make a stand with striving single moms and petition to get an affordable health care program here in the city of Richmond. I will be attending the Nehemiah Action on April 7th because justice
demands risk.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Michael Colby, and I go to East End Fellowship, and I've been on the Jobs Committee ever since East End Fellowship joined RISC last fall. And I've been to several meetings myself, and our Jobs Committee has done more than 15 meetings with experts all over the metro area about jobs and unemployment. And we've learned a lot over the last year, and I'll get into the details in a second, but on a personal level, we've just heard from Brenda, and we also heard from Joanne High School at the Community Problems Assembly. And her story is one that many of us can relate to. She is like most moms in this room who want the best for their children and grandchildren. She wanted her son to be able to take care of his children as he so desperately wants to. Yet, he remains underemployed with little potential of receiving the training needed to move into a job that will sufficiently provide for his family. And our Jobs Committee set out to address this deep need in our community. Recently, we've narrowed down our problem, and we have this job statement for you guys tonight. There are over 31,000 unemployed residents in Greater Richmond. Less than 10% of the people in the most distressed neighborhoods in Metro Richmond have traditional full-time employment, which is about 35 hours per week. Over the next 10 years, more than 13,000 jobs will be available in the healthcare field. Most of the jobs in demand require entry-level training lasting 2 years or less. And more than one-third, 471, of the available jobs will go unfilled every year because of the lack of skills and training of Richmond's current workforce. Now, the problem we're facing relates to accessibility and affordability of quality healthcare job training, as Brenda said. Now, some of the experts we met with said that they can't find students they can train, that there are too many barriers. However, we also met with Henrico Technical Center's LPN Training Program Director, and she said that three-fourths of their adult students are single moms, yet they go through the program and get good jobs with the potential for upward mobility despite their barriers. Now, we do not accept the narrative of despair that tells us we just can't educate them because of their barriers. We embrace God's narrative of hope that believes that there are people like Joanne's son that just need the opportunity to open up so he and his family can thrive. As a consequence, here's what we want, and here's what we're going to demand at Nehemiah Action. Number one, we want an affordable healthcare training program within Richmond city limits, preferably either in north side or eastern of the city, for these residents that live in the most distressed neighborhoods in our community. Henrico Technical Center's program is a great model for that. Number two, we want the program to provide 50 scholarships per training cycle. We want this so the training is affordable to those who can't sacrifice the money that it would cost to pay for the program, because it might take them away from paying other important bills or basic necessities like rent or food. Number three, we want priority given to residents who live within our most distressed communities in the metro area. And four, we want for this all to start by January 2015 and to have a follow-up meeting in September 2014. Now, to be sure we understand everything we're asking, we've met with leaders in the healthcare field who will benefit from an expanded employee pool and opportunity to fill the jobs they've needed. And our Jobs Committee most recently, met with Mr. David Beldy at Bon Secours. And he is in charge of their community benefits office. And he has the money at his disposal to make this happen. We asked him for these four things, and he said they were all reasonable and in Bon Secours' wheelhouse. These are all things that they think are really important. So we fully expect to celebrate a win April 7th, right? So that felt really good, and it feels really good for everybody to be here tonight. But, that being said, here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to fall into the trap of thinking, oh, they already said yes, so why do we need to show up and bring three people April 7th? It's done, right? No, it's not done. You're right. Yeah. In that meeting, we told Mr. Beldy that we were going to have 1,200 people present on April 7th to support this initiative. And he thought that was pretty impressive. He reacted pretty strongly to that, right? And he was honestly pretty concerned about what would happen if he didn't show up. And there were 1,200 people there seeing that he had a negative response. So he's agreed to come, right? Yeah. Now, what do you think will happen if he shows up and there are only 500 or 600 people there? You think he's going to take us seriously? All right. So I think we need to make sure, you know, for him to not go back on his word, we also need to keep our word, right? All right. So our power to make sure Bon Secours follows through on this program is directly related to turning out 1,200 people April 7th, right? So will you be there to make sure this important solution to this serious problem is implemented?
Yes.
On April 7th? All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to speakers at the March 17 rally of Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities, or RISC, addressing 300 members from 17 different congregations about affordable housing and affordable health care jobs training in preparation for the Nehemiah Action on April 7 at 7 p.m. at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1128 North 28th Street. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the March 17 RISC rally about affordable housing and affordable healthcare jobs training in preparation for the Nehemiah Action on April 7 at 7 p.m. at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1128 North 28th Street.
So we are RISC, Richmonders Involved in Strengthening Our Communities. And we know that RISC demands justice. If we're 17 congregations and we represent 4,000 people. Imagine that if 4,000 people showed up. We wouldn't even fit in this sanctuary. We wouldn't even fit in the Siegel Center barely, or the baseball stadium. What if that kind of crowd showed up to ask for justice and accountability for our leaders? It would make a powerful statement. That is what we're about. We're about standing up, speaking out, and seeking, advocating for justice so the reign of God might come closer into Metro Richmond. So how do we function as RISC? How does it work? How do we get closer to this vision? We've been hearing about that tonight. Brother Hodge kicked us off with a little mini sermon about justice. We've been getting a lot of information. We look around and we see problems. And we know there are problems with jobs in our city. We know there are problems with affordable housing in our city. And we know about health care and other issues where people are lacking hope. And we know that all of these things will move us and our city to the reign of God and to what God intends for us. So we at RISC, we go and do research. You've been hearing about the research tonight. We talk to people around Richmond who know these problems, who understand and work on these situations. We check with other cities to see what kind of solutions we might come up with in order to bring justice and to bring hope. And then we determine the people who can actually help us with these problems, the people whose decisions might actually begin to solve some of these problems and bring some change and bring some hope about life in Richmond. And that's why we're here tonight. Driven by faith and called to do justice, we've been working hard to listen. We've been working hard on research. We've been working hard to define significant problems for this city, and we've been working hard to offer some solutions for our city. So first, on the issue of affordable housing, we're getting close, as you heard, to a functioning affordable housing trust fund. We've talked to the city officials. We have met with other with council members. We have had meetings that have been orderly and respectful. These meetings are gaining traction, and they're gaining hope for an important issue in our city, affordable housing. Second, on the issue of jobs and poverty, we know too many people need jobs, especially in the East End. We know Bon Secours needs trained workers in a rapidly growing healthcare field. We have had meetings. We've had discussions, as you heard. We are hopeful about some actions that can bring justice and hope in the area of jobs and the area of improving life in Richmond. So following the biblical model that is found in Nehemiah chapter 5, we want to ask these community leaders to work on good solutions for jobs and for affordable housing and for justice and for hope. We need you, and we need your congregation to be present at the Nehemiah Action. This is important work. It is God's work. It is for good in this city. Why do we do all this? Because we have friends and because we have neighbors who work but cannot make ends meet. We have too many who remain unemployed or underemployed in our city, and this is not what God wants. Because God calls us to be engaged in the city, this is why we do it. To be, as the prophets say, repairers of the breach, or restorers to the path of hope and restorers to life. This is, frankly, our calling. This is our time. This is our city. This is what we're called to do, to be about justice. It's for God. It's for good. It's for a better city. Some of you have been involved with this ministry for a long time, a risk-type ministry or risk even in this city, and you have been to a Nehemiah Action, and you've experienced some of the tension in the room when these questions are asked, right? You know about this. This can be uncomfortable, but sometimes tension is what brings results. Sometimes hard questions is what we have to ask. Some of us would rather drink tea with our council members, but others of us know we need to ask hard questions, and we need to push for real solutions. So we are going to be asking questions, but as you've heard, these folks have already been talking to us. They have agreed to come. They know how many people, or they've been told how many people are going to come. They know that we're going to ask specific questions. We've given them the questions. So why is there tension? Why is there tension? Because we are an organized community, citizens asking for specific solutions to real problems in our city. That makes people nervous, especially when decision makers are often more comfortable with ambiguous answers. Even though we tell them there will be 1,200 people in the room on April 7th listening to what is said and asking them to do the right thing, they are still surprised when they see 1,200 people looking for real answers to real problems. And they're often more comfortable doing these things in the back room. And we're calling for real solutions to real problems. None of us like tension. We don't. But consider the tension of our communities around today. We got too many families having to decide between food and rent. We got too many people who are underemployed with plenty of jobs available and possibilities for jobs. These decision makers that will join us on April 7th have the power to do something about the tension that we're talking about in our community. The healthy tension that occurs at Nehemiah Action has made it possible for progress in healthcare already in Richmond, on truancy already in Richmond. With a little bit of tension, we can bring justice and hope to jobs and affordable housing and get closer toward the reign of God and to the kind of neighborhood that God calls all of us to be about. So on April 7th at Good Shepherd Baptist, will we actually show up with 1,200 or more people? Will we? Thank you. I look forward to seeing you there and all your folk there. And may God bless us toward justice and hope. Amen.
You've been listening to speakers at the March 17 rally of Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities, or RISC, addressing 300 members from 17 different congregations about affordable housing and affordable health care jobs training in preparation for the Nehemiah Action on April 7 at 7 p.m. at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1128 North 28th Street. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. A reverse mortgage can turn your home into a true retirement nest egg, which provides you income and a place to live. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when elder law attorney Sean Majette and reverse mortgage consultant Jim Warnes give us the straight facts about reverse mortgages in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on December 12, 2012. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.